All right, well, take your Bibles and turn back to Matthew chapter 25 this morning. Matthew chapter 25. We was there last week and we talked about the foolish virgins that didn't have oil for their lamps. And I said this last week that I was going to probably come back to it because there's just so much there. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm just going to kind of springboard off of that a little bit from what we talked about last week and talk about something that nobody wants to talk about, including me. There's times when you get up here, and anybody that has can attest to this, that you get up here and you've got it all figured out. And it's all laid out, and you've got good notes, and you've got you got 3 points and a story, and it's good to go. And it just makes perfect sense. And, you know, I've said it before, you've heard me say it. When I get up here to preach and it's, you know, I'm preaching to myself. But man, you know, ask the Lord to shine some light on your heart and he will do it. And guess who's going to be in trouble? You. And that's kind of where I'm at this morning. I don't feel good. But I don't know that it's because I don't feel good. This is one of them things that's really kind of just gut punched me. And I've read it 100 times, and here it is. So I'd like to just say this to begin with, that I'm not talking to any particular person in here this morning, but me. If you want to just pitchfork it to me, that's fine, because I'm guilty of it. It's hard to stand up here and talk about something that you're guilty of, but I am. You know, I've been called a hypocrite before, and I'm indignant about it. How dare they call me a hypocrite? But, you know, that's one thing I don't want to be. And, you know, it's the thing that is the worst testimony of the Lord in a person claiming to be a Christian is hypocrisy. And we don't ever want to think about ourselves as being a hypocrite. I mean, my goodness, the word, it's almost like out here in the secular world being called a racist nowadays. Lord, that'd be the worst thing anybody could call you, is a racist. And in church, the worst thing to be called is a hypocrite. And yet every one of us that struggle in a walk with Christ in any way, it's because of hypocrisy in our life. Whether you want to admit it or recognize it or own it or not. You know, you can live in denial about it and pretend like it's not you, that you don't do that or this or whatever. But we do. You know, I want to talk about something this morning that there it is. It's right there. And you look around, you look around nowadays and think, you know, what is it that has just destroyed our culture and our society, the generations that's come along now? What is it that all the older folk that you hear them constantly railing on the young people about? What is it? You know, it's even worked its way into our politics now, where, and this whole thing you talked about here a week or two ago about racism and how awful, it's just like, it's the dirty word now. You want to really call somebody something that just they have no answer for? You're a racist. Anything they do is a racist. It's racist to be this. It's racist to be white. Now they're coming out with parodies and jokes about it, about, you know, ooh, look at that. That is racist paper. Because it's white. And it's a joke because it's so ridiculous that they're taking it to this extreme. But here it is. You know, it's this matter of entitlement. And, you know, when I say the words spoiled rich kid, does a face pop in your mind? I promise you it does. Every single person in here immediately just now thought of somebody you go to school with, somebody you went to school with, somebody you work for, somebody you work for's kid. I could make a list this long of spoiled rich kids I've known. What is it that you can't stand about them people? It's their spirit of entitlement. They do what they... What do you think when you see some kid in a $70,000, you know, King Ranch Ford F-250 ripping up and down the road out here in his 9,000-pound race car, burning the tires off of it, and he ain't even learned how to keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise there? What do you think about that kid? What an idiot. Out there tearing up his daddy's truck. Where's his daddy? He's working somewhere, paying for that truck. And here's this punk running up down the road, acting like he is it. Wanting all the girls to look at him, trying to make music blasting with the windows down, as if it's his truck. And the only person in the world who thinks it is him. Everybody else looking at it says, look at that little punk tearing up his dad's truck. No parent ever has ever done their kid a favor by putting them in a nice vehicle. I'm just going to say that. It always has the wrong effect on a kid. When I was 15 or 16 and I was I got my driver's license, and you remember what the vehicle was that I wanted? Do you remember? It was a Jeep. I wanted a Jeep. I wanted a Jeep worse than anything in the world. That's what I wanted. I wanted to take the top off of it and take the doors off of it, and I wanted to go to Bald Mountain. That's what I wanted to do. Because that's where you took a Jeep to see if it'd climb the mountain, and it'd be fun. And I wanted a Jeep. And so I told Dad, I want to get a Jeep. And he looked at me and he said, boy, what's wrong with you? He said, do you know how much insurance is on a Jeep for a 16-year-old boy? He said, it'd be way more than your payment. He said, you don't need a Jeep. He said, you'll get your killing done in a Jeep. Well, okay. Then we had this friend who had a Corvette, and he let me drive it one time. Then my dad told him not to let me drive it no more. Why? He said, it made me mad. What in the world? You know, what's it to you? Ain't no skin off your nose. He said, why do you want that? You know, see, Dad was smarter than a 16-year-old boy. Then I seen a big old jacked up Ford pickup. Boy, I wanted that real bad. You know what I wound up buying? A worn out 1987 single cab short bed S10 pickup with a 5-speed in it. And a busted windshield. And you know what I did to it? Run the guts out of it. My poor dad bought it from me when I wore it out. First thing he did is pulled the motor. And when he pulled the pistons out of the motor to rebuild the motor, the rings just fell off the pistons. See, because that's what kids do to stuff. And if you indulge these things in your children, you propagate a spirit of entitlement. I don't want to tarry forevermore on one thing like that, but here's the deal. It's a spirit. You say, well, it's what's prevalent nowadays in our society, because just look around. No, it's been around forevermore because it's a spirit. I believe it's a spirit from the devil, for sure. The Lord don't give you a spirit of entitlement. The devil sure does love to see it propagated and cultivated in a society, though. Bible, let's read these first 9 verses again in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, and I'd like to say this too, before I read this. It's a sign of the times. These disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, what is going to be the sign of the end of the times? Or the coming of the Son of Man again. What's it going to be? And he had just got through telling them everything in chapter 24, and then he just went right into chapter 25. He said he ain't quit talking yet. He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You know, there was 10 of these women, and they were all brides. You know, it's something that you kind of need to get a mental handle on, is that there was 5 of them that were true. They were diligent. They had prepared. And then there was these 5 who had a lamp, and it was burning at one point. They were brides, don't you know? They were just like everybody else. They had the title, but they didn't make the sacrifice. They didn't do the work. And when it came crunch time, when it got time for things to be real, they wanted what someone else had. You're always asking for a title for our sermons or whatever, and it's hard to, I don't know, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but, you know, so much in our political pop culture nowadays of what's going on is this whole thing about socialism trying to take over our country. And it's always a reflection of what's went on in the churches, what winds up happening in our secular world. And I thought about calling this spiritual socialism, because that's what most Christians run on. Their order of government in Christianity and their Christian lives is, you know, is socialism. You know, God gives to everyone. We all have this spirit in one degree or another of spiritual entitlement. You know, it's so off-putting when you look at some kid that does his daddy's truck that way. Or you see some child that stomps their feet and demands a phone when they're 10 years old or something. Or you see, you know, somebody not willing to wear certain types of clothes to school, or they are not willing to do a certain type of job because that's beneath them. What, me? Sweep the floor? That broom don't fit my hand. They've never worked a day in their life. It's their first job. You know, they get a job at McDonald's because that's an entry-level position employment, and they won't come to work because they won't get out of bed, because they won't go to bed at night. You know, I heard Brother Red say this, you can't stay up with the hoot owls and get up with the canaries. You can't do it. And it's that way. And yet this whole society has this spirit of entitlement that they're owed. And you hear the older generation just disparage it so bad. And it is. It's off-putting. It's repulsive. Because at the end of the day, all these people that are freeloading are riding on the coattails of the few that are doing the work. But how can we have expected anything else to happen? We've done it in our churches forevermore. How many times have we said, every church you go to, it don't matter if there's 500 people in the church, there's usually about this many people that do all the work. They sweep the floors and they clean the toilets and they do the visiting and they do the inviting and they make sure the grass is mowed and they make sure the windows are cleaned and they make sure everything, all the songbooks are lined up. And that's just how it is. And we've raised generation after generation. You know, we condemn progressivism in our government, and yet our churches are progressive. Our religion is progressive. We progressively push the line further and further to suit ourselves, to suit our own lusts, our own desires, our own greediness. And then the results are you raise a bunch of kids that don't come to church no more. You know, I've asked Dad before, what happened to my generation? I think of all the kids that I grew up with, and I'll be 41 in November, and I think of all the kids I grew up with, and I can count on 2 hands just about the ones that I know that are still truly in church and actually serving the Lord. And that's just the ones that came back. The rest of them are gone. Some of them are sodomites. Most of them just hate church, and they hate everybody at church. Some of them still go to church. They just hate where they were raised. And the hypocrisy that they've seen growing up. They hate it. They've come up with their own religion. They found a church that suits their proclivities and their habits, and they're drinking and smoking and cussing and their wicked lifestyle, but they found a church that's cool with that because they don't meddle in your affairs. What happened? What happened to my generation? Well, and like I said, man, this is hard to say because nobody wants to hear it because, you know, it forces you to look in the mirror and say, am I this? Am I doing this? I have done this. You know, when your kids are little bitty, they just feel like they're going to be little forever. Feel like you're never going to quit buying diapers and formula. You're always going to be cleaning up some kind of mess somewhere. Usually something you don't even want to put your hands in. And then all of a sudden you turn around one day and they're driving you down the road. And you realize that they're fixing to launch off into life. And there's things you didn't do. There's things I see in my kids that I'm thinking to myself. I have good kids. We all got good kids, right? But there's things that I see in them that if they launch off into life and this is their attitude about stuff, things are going to be awful hard for them. And when I say, what in the world's wrong with you? Well, you're looking at him right here. This is where it came from. Now, I say, well, I'm not entitled. I don't live an entitled life. I work hard for what I have. I'm not a hypocrite. I love the Lord. I try to serve Him the best I know how. I get up and sing. I do what I try to do everything I know how to do. I don't watch dirty movies on TV, and I don't talk dirty at home, and I try not to fight with my wife too much in front of the kids. And but am I entitled? Do I live like I'm entitled? Yeah, I do. I'm not talking just spiritually. See, it bleeds over. These two are conjoined sisters. They're twins. You can't be entitled physically in the secular world and not be living a life like an entitled, spoiled child spiritually. Or vice versa. If you live a spiritual, entitled life, if you have a spiritual spirit, like a spirit of entitlement, if that's how you live your life, you live that way physically too. Why do you think everybody's swimming in debt up to their ears nowadays? Including me. Why? Well, it's the microwave society, man. The microwave mentality. I want it now. I remember when I was a kid, I sat on the porch with Grandpa, and I'd talk about, you know, we was looking out and sitting on the porch swing. How much time have we spent sitting on the porch swing with Pop? And I remember him saying, everything you see that I have, you know, it's took me a lifetime to get it. A lifetime. You know, I'm an old man, and this is what I have. But it's took all my life to get it. And I remember him warning me, don't go out here and try to obtain everything you see me have right off the bat. And he said, you'll be a slave all your life. And he was not wrong. And we might even practice some restraint in this matter of like not going in debt too much. Only having two or three credit cards. Only having one car payment at a time. Things like that. And it's kind of like the salve we put on our entitled little self to make us feel like we're not. But man, listen, it's not just about the corner you paint your own self into. They're watching me. I'm making them the kind of people they're going to be forever. I'm setting them up with the struggles they're going to have to deal with for the rest of their life. Whether it's spiritually, and it is, because you do. Or financially, and it is, because you do. You know, even physically. You know, you want to get rich? Find a pill somebody can take to lose weight and not have to exercise. You'll be a rich man. Look on Facebook. Every other sponsored ad is about something you can take to lose weight. Because the whole wide world does whatever they want to do. You want it, you eat it. You don't want to work out, you don't go work out. You want to, I mean, it ain't about, well, I can't afford it. Maybe we'll do it in a few years. Let's save our money for it. Let's not eat the cake today. No, you just do it. There's nothing between you and not doing it. So you just do it. And the next thing you know, you're a slave to everything. Everything. And yet we like to pride ourselves that we're not, I'm not that spoiled rich kid. I worked hard. We justify the things that we do because we work hard for what we have. Do you think that Daniel or the three Hebrew boys or Esther in the Bible, do you think they worked hard to maintain what they were? You better believe they did. And they didn't get nothing for it. They got sterilized. They got pawned off as a wife to a heathen king that wasn't a Jew. They got thrown in the lion's den. And yet, they didn't say, well, no, that's not fair. Now, Lord, we had a deal. I have done everything you asked, above and beyond. I've been taken from my family. I've been mutilated physically. I've been oppressed politically. Now, how come I'm having to suffer so? Nah, man. They just did what was right because the truth was their North Star, see? It wasn't about this deal they had with God, that if they'd do right, he'd do them right. What does contemporary religion teach nowadays? We mock it. Oh, the prosperity gospel. Oh, yeah. He wants you to be wealthy and healthy and successful. And matter of fact, we'll make it the standard. Or like what you talked about there, where you come, be a member of our church, and you pay tithes for 90 days. And if God don't do something good for you, we'll refund you all your tithes. How about that? We'll put God on the spot. That's a thing now. Can you believe that nonsense? To strong arm God into giving you everything you want. For your 10%. Lord, have mercy. Would you say the entitled spirit is pervasive in our churches? Yeah, I would say so. I've seen all kinds of young people grow up in church that had dads that were preachers, evangelists, missionaries. Been one. And they feel like that because of who their dad is, that, you know, that'll be a bargaining chip when they get to the good old pearly gates. Matter of fact, they may be preachers. They may sing. They may do the song and dance just like everybody else. But it's not real to them. They're getting in on, like, the merits of their father. They want the oil. See, they're burning somebody else's oil. And I've watched those kids grow up and get married, maybe lose a child. Or maybe they can't have kids. I've seen them derail and hate God. Because God didn't give them what they wanted after they'd lived their life for Him. I mean, my daddy's been a good man. I've been in church all my life. Why can't I have what I want? And here's the deal. The spirit of entitlement that we all hate so bad, that we see in our world, that's ruined our society. Man, where'd it come from? Who's raised all these generations of kids that run the world now? Entitled people. You know, we look back and think about in World War II. That's what I told her this morning. I said, you know, what do we call that generation? The greatest. Why? Because they gave it all. They gave it all. And if you've been fortunate enough in your life to have known somebody, the older folks here, sure you do. But I mean, even my age, I've only known just a handful of men who really did go over there and fight, who gave it all. Or people that stayed here and just did without. Ate beans and taters and that's it. and gave everything. I mean, people, even children, planted victory gardens and donated everything. I mean, they picked up scrap metal, and I mean, everything went to the war effort because they had to win. They were the greatest general. And then, guess what? When they won, they didn't say, all right, we've earned it. Let's go nuts. No. I've known them be 85, 90 years old, and they still live just about like they did during the war. You know why? They were the greatest generation. They weren't entitled. They looked at it as, it's by God's grace and mercy that we live in peace now. But here's the problem. And here's where we have messed up. They raised their kids and said, I want to give them what we didn't have. Let's give them a better life. So they raised the generation that come out with the Beatles and the Doors and Woodstock and all, you know, the 60s. That's the generation they raised. And then what's the generation they raised? Now that generation has had kids. And then that generation has had children. My generation, my daughter, is going to vote next year for a president. She's old enough to vote. My goodness. And you see what's happened? It's just degraded and digressed. Wyatt has been... We got tomato plants there at the end of the house and some raised beds. And boy, this year they're putting on real good. Big old pretty tomatoes hanging all over them. And Kim come in the other day and she had one that was half eaten by something. I mean, it had mangled it. This ain't gonna fly. Got to get a trap. So we set a live trap. And we caught an old possum first night. We put some pound cake in there and caught the cat first. Then we put some pound cake in there and caught the possum. So I took him down the road and let him go. Come back, set the trap again, because, hey, something else ate a tomato last night. Well, went out there the next morning. Trap was empty. Bait was gone. Something slick. Next night, same thing. Something went in there and stole the bait again. So I told Wyatt, I said, take your bait and put it inside something and zip tie it or baling wire it in there to the trigger. Went out there this morning. Big old fat coon sitting in that trap. Coons are smarter than possums. They're meaner too. But they're just an animal. That coon's mother taught him that if you're going to survive, you got to get whatever you can get at whatever cost you can get. And it doesn't matter who it belongs to. You got to survive. So take it at any cost. Eat somebody's tomatoes. It don't matter. You know. But what she did is she made him a slave to his own lust and desires. But he's just an animal. Why do people got to act like animals? You know, we got him this morning. There he was. Sitting in the trap, looking at us like doggone. His own belly got him trapped. Now, luckily for him, we're the ones who trapped him, and I took him down the road and turned him loose. But it could have been his death, see? We're not so fortunate most times in life. The trap gets baited. And we're enticed by our own lust and desires. And because we live our lives like an entitled child, even though we don't think we do, we just do it. And if we're lucky enough to get in there and sneak the bait out of the trap once or twice, then boy, we're proud of ourselves. I told Wyatt, I said, this is the third night. You could wire anything to that foot pedal in there and you'll catch him. Because he's done been in there and got it and not got trapped twice. He's confident now. He's not scared of the trap. Sure enough, there he was. We tricked him. Joke was on the coon. The joke's on us. The devil's laughing all the way to hell with our kids. Because we're raising them to despise the world out there for their entitlement. And yet we live our lives like spiritually entitled little spoiled children. After all, our father owns a cattle on a thousand hills, don't you know? So I own a cattle on a thousand hills. People feel like they can just command God to just calm the seas when they want him to. Mercy. So what are you doing? What are you going to do? Well, if you look in Ephesians, I'll just read it. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "This I say," in verse 17, "this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." We live our lives like the lost people that we condemn. Only we do it spiritually. And then we get offended when they call us hypocrites. Why do you think that the world... See, in America, we have this attitude. And don't get me wrong, I'm not unpatriotic. Okay, I love our country. I do. I love what it started out to be, that's for sure. I love the vision that our founding fathers had for this nation. But why do you think the rest of the world, if you go ask certain places, why do you think that there is a... I mean, yeah, everybody wants to come here, and we think, oh, it's because we're such a righteous place. No. Everybody wants to come here because everything's free. Off the backs of the few people that are paying for everything. Kind of like our churches. And we like to think that, oh, it's because America's the most blessed nation in the world. No. People in the world hate America. That's why they want to come here and take advantage of it, first of all. Second of all, they hate it because we are the spoiled rich kid of the world. We won't feed our own homeless people, our veterans are dying, everything. I mean, we won't take care of our own problems, yet we go try to take care of the problems of other countries. And it's just pure old hypocrisy in a lot of ways. It's how the world perceives us. And we do this so much right here from our little church. Because what will we say? Well, I have the truth. We have a good church. Thank the Lord for our church. We hear the truth. Okay, good for us. We hear the truth. What do you do with it? Do you let it affect your life in a way that makes you live in a way that brings honor and glory to God? Or do you take it and turn it into Christian privilege? Because I mean, look, we've talked about it before about how other churches used to get together and have meetings and different things because we all were striving for the same goal. And now we're just like, you ever come up on an old hound dog while he's eating his food fast as he can? What's he do? Oh, he'll growl at you. He might bite you. That's literally how we act with our truth in so many ways. Everybody's suspicious of everybody else in churches. You know, everybody has the best church and nobody else does. And if you don't come to our church, then you just must be lost, I guess. I don't, you know, we'll pray for you. Poor thing. I don't know. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greed." Entitled spirit equals that kind of... That's what's influencing your decisions. Your greed. There'll be uncleanness. Lasciviousness. And that's a whole other message right there. I mean, it's the markers of someone who lives an entitled life. You take a young person who feels entitled because of their privilege, their parents, their whatever, their dad's money. What are they? Are they usually a noble, kind, generous, benevolent, obedient, submissive young person? Or are they rebellious, haughty, proud, conceited, lascivious, fornicating, profane, unclean? Which one fits them more? Well, we all know. But listen, this is spiritually is the same exact way. It affects everything. Verse 20 says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." It's not the Jesus we've taught you. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." if I'm a Christian and God is my Father, you know, something I've heard young people say nowadays, and it really infuriates me because it's a spirit I see even, and I see where it comes from. People treat God this way, but they'll say, I want to do this. And the mom and dad say, well, we can't afford to do it. And the kid says, that's not fair. I didn't ask to be born into this family. I've heard them say that. As if their life would have been better if they could have chose the family if they and their selfish state could have chose the family they were born into, who do you think they would have picked? A family that loves them or a family that gives them everything they want? And that's how the gospel's being presented to the lost world nowadays. You know, Jesus loves you, but, you know, if you'll come to our church, we'll give you your tithes back if you don't get rich. You know? And then you wonder why your kids grow up and they hate God, and they hate the church, and they hate the people in the church, because God didn't give them everything they ever wished for. After all, they had a deal, right? I don't know. I don't want to live my life like a spoiled little rich kid. I don't deserve anything that God has ever done for me. I'm not entitled to forgiveness. I'm not entitled to a home in heaven. I'm not entitled. The only reason why that I'm even able to lay claim to that in any way is because Jesus loved me enough to let me in and forgive me. And I'll never deserve it. No more than, you know, this attitude. See, the devil always takes something good and messes it up. You have a child, you ought to take care of your kids. You ought to provide for them. But the world has taken it and said, you owe it to that child to make his life better than yours at your expense. And if you don't, you don't love your kids. And then we've raised generations of kids that call you a fascist and a Nazi and burn down buildings and beat up old people in their cars if you don't give them what they want or if you tell them they're wrong for believing what they say. That's your Antifa. That's what they are. They call everyone else Nazis and fascists because you tell them, no, your philosophy's wrong. How dare you? You're going to tell me, you're going to withhold something from me? You're a Nazi. We're going to, by force, make you comply with us. See how messed up everything's done got? It's a sign of the times. Jesus said this is another thing that's going to be going on at the end of the times. The kingdom of heaven, there's going to be virgins there that want your oil. And believe that they still have a right to come in. Man, I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to raise kids that feel that way about the Bible, about the Lord, about religion or Christianity, about forgiveness and salvation, about their home in heaven, that God owes it to them. Oh. No, we better not do that. Better not do that. Amen.